I'm talking to you today from Sydney, where astonishingly it is raining. We haven't had a lot of rain in the last 5 or 6 years, as the worst drought since white settlement has been clearly turbocharged by climate change, which overnight has become the great issue. I live on a cattle ranch about 300 k's out of Sydney. Like many farmers, we've been destocking desperately because there's simply no water for the dams, none for the rivers, and it ain't just the ordinary cyclic drought. It is without precedent and it's very nasty. Simultaneously, we're getting record rainfalls sweeping over parts of Australia that rarely get rain. But in Sydney, for example, which is the major city in this country, the water supply is rapidly evaporating, and we're now desperately trying to work out how we will find something to drink in the next 12 months. So the local government is now rushing to introduce a desal plant, which many people regard as almost as bad as a cure as the disease because of the immense expense of running desal. And we're digging into the final aquifers, the great resources of fossil water beneath our cities, and we're looking down the barrel of what is a disaster, and that is being replicated in most cities in Australia. We're now starting to think the unthinkable about recycling sewage water. We're starting to realise that if we're to survive, we're going to have to adopt very different attitudes, very different policies, totally different approaches to agriculture. We like to expiate guilt in Australia by saying we only produce 1% of global emissions. That's not true. We are the biggest exporter of coal. And in the Hunter Valley, not far from where I live, it is a moonscape of coal mines. Coal exports are a huge part of Australia's economy. So this is why there's great concern and growing factionalism in this country, because, of course, there are tens of thousands of miners, their families, entire communities dependent on coal. And already you can see that the tactic from conservatives is to say these poor fellows are all going to lose their jobs. There are some political parties here, particularly the Greens, calling for coal to be phased out within 3 years. Impossible. But what could happen within 3 years is we can start switching with great speed to solar. We've got a lot of sun in Australia, to wind, quite a lot of that around, and not all of it is political hot air, and to geothermal. Once again, we have, everyone has vast amounts of heat not far underground if you go digging for it. The Prime Minister is pushing for nuclear power. It's a wedge issue. The public won't cop it. Although, once again, we are, if not the major, then certainly number two on the list of the world's suppliers of uranium. So Australia is right in the eye of this storm. As a huge producer of coal and therefore of other people's emissions, and a huge producer of uranium, with all its attendant dangers downstream, at a time when we should be very worried about nuclear proliferation. The print media is doing a pretty good job now. They've got acres of space, of course, the broadsheets, the tabloids, to devote to this. Television news services are remarkably brief, and once you take the ads and the promotional time out of them, you're dealing with, you know, a few hundred words in half an hour. And not everything we're talking about is all that photogenic. But the sense of growing concern, the sense of community panic, is now being reflected, not led by, media comment. It astonished us in Australia that so little attention was applied to climate change after Katrina. Every scientist worth his salt, including the Australian of the Year, Tim Flannery, who's one of the great crusaders on the issue, were pointing out that not only was Katrina almost certainly a consequence of climate change, but that we on this coast of Australia are going to cop exactly the same phenomena as the weather becomes much more turbulent. People have got to learn that global warming doesn't necessarily mean warming. In other places it can mean global colding. But everywhere it's going to lead to these immense instabilities. And we ain't seen nothing yet. The whole political, scientific and communal dynamic of Australia is being transformed. And we may finally have an issue that, instead of dividing societies and indeed dividing nations, might start bringing them together. We could be at the beginning of a remarkable new era when instead of having a Cold War to give power blocks unity, we have a hot war to give everyone unity. You can look at bits of it, can't you? Like the ongoing attempt to fill that hole in the ozone layer, and of course the Kyoto Protocols, at least a start. But it's going to need a massive and unprecedented effort by everyone in every country if we're going to effect change. And the thing that concerns me, of course, is that Australians tend to say, well, if we don't dig up the coal, if we don't export the uranium, someone else will. Well, that's as an ethical position, is untenable. Everyone's got to work at this. We've all got to do it together, and we've got to do it now.